a book drop right here, and they're going to extend that landing area out so that we can move it off to the side and create more space.
Well, yeah, if you don't care to give us like an itemized list of everything that's going to happen, because I'd like to see that before we commit to anything. And I don't know if legally we can...
We've got other libraries in the county. I don't know if we'd have to...
We have other not-for-profits in the county. So, I mean, just, I don't know that we can legally just give money to a not-for-profit without there being some sort of... I don't know the answer to that. So we need to discuss that and figure it out.
I probably heard wrong. The sidewalk, did I hear that you thought it was too steep for the wheelchairs, so it wasn't in compliance?
That is what the contractor has told us. He thinks that the grade is, the ramp grade is higher than necessary, but it's workable at this point. We're going to leave that as is.
Because you did say we're working to get an ADA compliance, so if it's too steep, it's not, they could, I mean, like our road and bridge can just shoot something, tell the grade of that, and you could know what was.
Oh, that'd be good to know.
Yeah, I'm sure that Branson should have,
Well, then your contract.
I can already tell her, what she's talking about on the threshold is the distance from the door out, because you have to be able to bring a wheelchair and turn it to get in, and I can tell by looking at it, it's not ADA compliant.
Was it well, 5 feet?
I can't remember what it is, but it's, go ahead.
Okay, so for a ramp, I'm going off memory here, but it's about 1 inch of rise per 12 inches of run, about 4.8 slope, or 4.8% slope. The cross slope cannot be more than 1.9% across it. 2.0 gets you failed. And then you have to have a 5x5 landing at least every, I think it's 20 or 30 feet off the ground. But you have to do that 1 to 12 slope. A lot of times in a scenario like that, you're going to end up with a landing in what we call switchback to get that in if you're not careful. That's why you see them so often on ADA ramps, just because it gets so long.
That's an engineer speaking to you, Marcia.
Okay, thanks.
And so I would, as an engineer that does some of these, I would highly encourage you to make sure that through the project you bring that ramp.
There's no sense in spending the money.
The entire system up.
I say if you're going to do it, there's no sense in not doing it proper. So if you think even changing that would be a waste of resources, I think.
My concern is adding to the cost.
It's every 30 feet you have to have that, you have to have that landing, or if you were to return it. Unfortunately, the ADA, when we do it on projects, we typically don't get to use cost as a factor to not do one part of it or do part of it. It's kind of an all or nothing thing. It's a well-meaning law that sometimes it does add a lot of added cost. Which it may be fully compliant, because you know we can't tell the exact grade from.
I see, by looking at the picture, you can't tell.
Perfectly fine. I would highly suggest that they shoot it with a trainer.
Okay. And who's they?
Your contractor or your architect slash engineer.
Don't want the architect. They'll charge.
I mean, they should have checked it at the beginning. But
yeah, I would thought they'd had that.
And so maybe they may have checked it, and maybe. Okay.
Commissioner
Scofield? Yes.
Marcia, have y'all checked with ADA for maybe a possible grant?
You know, I've made several calls to various organizations to assist, and, you know, it's just not there. Finding grants to help with construction is a problem, and especially for a project, they consider this a small project. We even presented it to the senior board thinking that they would, since 50% of our walk-in traffic is senior, that they would be willing to help, and no, their focus is on food and transportation. I also spoke to the USDA office out of Springfield, because they do some minor construction grants Based on the population that we would serve throughout Taney County, they said they could fund up to 15% of the project, but because they would have to add their codes on top of it, they said really what we would give you, you'd end up paying to comply with our codes, and that would add cost onto it. So that was a dead, that was a disappointing end.
What codes would they have that would be on top of existing city codes?
I guess federal requirements.
You probably have to go through with it. So to give you an example on that, whenever I do a USDA funded project, I have to use the Engineering Joint Council documents. My engineering contract, like you guys see that maybe 4 or 5 pages goes to 97 pages. To do this exact same thing. And so whenever we bid those projects, usually they're larger water lines and stuff like that. The paperwork side of it is quite burdensome on engineer, architect, contractor, everybody kind of involved, the entity. So that's where you see a lot of added costs just in that alone.
Sheila, you mentioned other libraries in the area. You know, the Forsyth Library, I know that they have needs as well when it comes to construction, and they could certainly use additional funding as
That's what I mean. If we open the door, we'd have to get a legal opinion, number one, but if we open the door, we open the door.
And Dub's here, so he could give legal opinion.
No. He's prosecutor. We have outside sources that actually represent the county and public entity work, so.
Yeah,
unless you want to, Mr. Dustin.
I'm not going to do it on the fly.
I'm just teasing you.
Just to add, typically if we, where we do almost any improvements, we do have to bring a lot of the ADA compliance as a whole. This can include paving of a road in front of a sidewalk. We'll trigger, if you pave over a quarter inch of new added material, you have to bring at least the transition ramps from your sidewalk in a city to the road up to ADA compliance. And there's a lot of stuff that triggers full ADA compliance. I'm not a lawyer, but there is a lot of things that I will assure you that this level of improvements will trigger you to have to make sure the entire thing is ADA.
We do have another entrance, a lower entrance.
If that's ADA compliant, then that could get you out of the
Okay. Yeah, we do have a lower entrance minor, that has the handicap buttons. And that is used primarily for people that come into the thrift shop, which is at the lower level, and the used bookstore. Most library people come in through the upper area.
Do you have an elevator inside?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Yeah, typically we have to provide, we don't have to provide every access as ADA compliant, but we do have to provide at least one. And then we're free inside the building.
And that I don't know.
Yeah, because isn't your entrance from the parking lot? That lower entrance is ADA.
Yeah,
because I've used that and then used the elevator to come up. So you do have an ADA entrance already.
And there also is a rule, and I don't remember the exact dimension on it, but you can't offer the parking lot and then the main entrance and then the ADA entrance. I think it's 300 feet, more than 300 feet extra walking or extra distance away for a normal person, which if they're parking close to that anyways, that's just kind of another little caveat of it. You can't make the handicapped person go up and accept the distance further.
Yeah. What is your name?
Jason Sibbles, Great River Engineering.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't have anything else.
Yeah. Except just maybe an itemized.
The list.
Itemized list, and then
all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll get it. So I'm here. You're just struggling pretty good today.
I'm feeling really good today.
Thank you, Marcia.
Thanks.
All right. Next on the agenda, discussion of Family Services Division Cooperative Agreement.
Mr. William Beston, good morning. Pardon? Yes. I want to pull that mic up close to you.
I have a letter dated December 9, 2019 from our attorney, Mr. Elliott. He's reviewed the above reference contract for services by and between the Missouri Department of Social Services and Taney County relating to child support enforcement under the Title 4D Social Security Act. There was one part of his letter that concerns me is that the contract contains a hold harmless provision in favor of the Department of Social Services and against the county. Is that something that, however, he did state that because it is a contract with the state and involves federal funds, I do not anticipate that it is it is negotiable under the circumstances. Is there something about that that you could tell me?
Presiding Commissioner, members of the Commission, thanks for having us here today, and I'm kind of sorry we got this to you a little bit late. As per that provision, do you want me to do a background or do you want me just...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
As per that provision itself, in the liability section, that was a provision that I often found in governmental agreements that always concerned me, and I always tried to get that kind of language struck whenever I had a chance to have that kind of language struck. Often it's a little bit more difficult to do that with an intergovernmental agreement. It's a little bit easier to do that with a vendor. I would point out the language specifically in the agreement that discusses that, talks about misconduct or negligent acts when those hold harmless provisions come into play. Hopefully you're not going to have that in this kind of agreement, because this agreement's not, it's for contractual services involving an assistant prosecutor coming down and handling child support agreements. It's kind of hard for me to know where you're going to have some negligence or misconduct when you have that kind of issue. The agreement itself is a renewal of agreement that's been going on since around, I believe, 2009. It's a tri-county agreement. At its most basic, what happens is the Social Security Administration provides temporary assistance for needy families, TANF funds, and if there is a delinquent parent who is not paying their child support and the family is receiving those TANF funds, the delinquent parent will be pursued to pay that kind of child support. The Social Security Administration provides grants to each state to pursue these kinds of actions that then the states delegate down to the counties. Various counties, some counties do this themselves, other counties enter into agreements with other counties. Taney County, for nearly the last decade, has been with Christian County and Greene County to provide these kinds of services. Greene County provides the actual prosecutor who comes down here once a week, as they do for Christian County, and Greene County provides the administrative support, and most of the duties that are found in this agreement are done internally in the Greene County Prosecutor's Office. So we rely on them to provide those services, and Greene County does the budgeting and the other issues that you find in this agreement. And some of the issues that Mr. Elliott discussed in the letter that I read this morning. As for some of the more administrative type issues, I've got Laura Forrest here today. She's a first assistant prosecutor in the Greene County Prosecutor's Office, and she's actually the regional director of the child support division there, who oversees these types of cases in Greene County, in Christian County, and down here in Taney County. So I thought she might provide you with a little bit of background as it pertains to some of the budgeting and how those grants provided through the Greene County Prosecutor's Office to provide the services that are included in this agreement. Laura.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
I believe she's appeared in front of you before, maybe in 2017,
Yeah.
This isn't one that we have so many contract agreements, but this is a 2-year contract.
Yeah, I think this will be like the fifth renewal.
This will be the fifth renewal of it.
Well, this used to be an annual contract, a cooperative agreement between the agents.